for the message in English this morning. I'd like to start with a story. There was a family once sitting in their house. In one of the rooms, and like you right now, sitting in your living rooms. But their daughter was very, very sick. She was so sick that the parents at a certain point thought that she's not gonna make it. And so the father decided to go look for help. And he heard that there was a teacher in town, one who has the power from God to heal. His name was Jesus from Nazareth. And so he went to look for that teacher. He found him. He was teaching a large crowd. And he went to him and said, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Interestingly enough, the teacher interrupted his teaching and decided to go with this man, with this leader of the synagogue. As they were trying to leave that place, there was such a large crowd, and suddenly the teacher stopped and said, "Someone touched me." Now put your place into that father and think, well, obviously, someone touched you. Even his disciples said, "Well, teacher, look at this crowd." But it was different. And this father becomes witness to one of his miracles. A lady was healed who was sick for a really long time. Now, as a father, I think you start to have hope. Certainly, he must have had very mixed emotions. He must have been thinking about his daughter, but then he saw this lady being healed who was sick for such a long time. And he must have said, "This teacher truly has the power to heal. He will heal my daughter as well." But then, two messengers arrive. And they tell this leader of the synagogue called Jairus, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." His daughter died, and he wasn't even there. But then Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." And they still ended up going to Jairus' house, and the teacher just took three of his disciples with him. When he got there, there was funeral music, people were weeping. And Jesus stopped all that and told all the people to get out. They started laughing at him because he said, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep." People started laughing, but he told everyone to get out so that only Jairus, his wife, his daughter, Jesus, and three of his disciples were left in the room. And then Jesus grabbed this little girl by the hand and said, "Little girl, get up. Get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. One of the songs we sang said, "When you walk into the room." When you walk into the room. And I was so fascinated by this thought, when Jesus walks into the room. And I want to talk about three things this morning that happen when Jesus walks into the room. And the first one, when Jesus walks into the room, he brings order. When Jesus walks into the room, he brings order. In Mark 5:39, we read, "He went inside and asked, 'Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep.' The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave." In Matthew 9, Matthew records in verse 24 and says, Jesus said, "Get out. Get out. The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep." As Jesus was walking towards that house, he didn't go and say, "Well, you know what? Let's go there. Let's see what's happening. And we'll evaluate the situation. We'll see what can be done." No, Jesus went to this leader of the synagogue. He went to his house with a plan. He knew exactly what he wants to do and what he needs to do. And when he got there, and when he saw that funeral music, when he saw that commotion, that weeping, he said, "That's not what needs to happen here." Because it was not the time for funeral music, for weeping. It was time for a miracle. It was time for a miracle to happen. And so Jesus brings order into that room, brings order into that house. And so when Jesus comes into your house, expect things to change. Expect him to bring order. Expect him to tell some friends of yours to get out, because they're not right for you. They're not leading you towards God. They're laughing at Jesus Christ while he wants to do a miracle. He wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to bring order in your life. Because he's a God of order and not a God of disorder. The second thing that happens when Jesus walks into a room is he brings hope. Now put yourself into the place of that mother. The husband leaves looking for this teacher, and she's left with her daughter, who's still alive. But her husband doesn't seem to come back. Who knows for how long he was gone? Who knows how long he was searching for the teacher? And the girl dies. People start weeping. People start crying. Funeral music starts. Two messengers already on the way to tell the teacher to not even bother to come anymore. And she's in the midst of that disaster situation, of that sadness. But then, a certain moment, she sees her husband at the door. And with him is Jesus Christ. And I don't know if it was his presence, but for sure when she saw his determination, his will, telling those people to get out, telling those people that the girl is only sleeping, she must have had hope. Because Jesus Christ brings hope into your life. Jesus Christ brings hope into the room you're in. Because only he has the power to do it. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. I don't know what situation you're in. I suppose it must be difficult. For many people, this is a very, very difficult time. Because I know that a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people are struggling right now. It's difficult. Jesus Christ brings hope. But more than all these earthly resources, what we're worried about, he wants to bring a much greater hope into your life. These difficult times, although they're very difficult for so many people, these difficult times have this advantage of waking us up, of putting our values in order. And so what Jesus Christ wants to tell us today is that what values more than everything in this life is your soul. And there is hope for your soul. There is hope for your soul. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, says Apostle Paul in Romans 5, verse 5. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Jesus Christ brings hope into your life. Hope that you will spend your eternity with him if you obey him and you accept him as your Savior. And then thirdly, when Jesus walks into the room, he brings joy. He brings joy. The girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. There was joy in that house again. Jairus' daughter was healed by this miracle worker. Now, if there was joy, and I imagine must have been a lot of joy to see your daughter, who you thought is dead, walk again into the room. How much more joy is there in your life, in your room, in your house, when you know that your sins are forgiven and that you'll spend your eternity with Jesus Christ, who died for your sins? And you have hope, and you know that this is true because Jesus Christ is alive today. He has risen from the dead, and he is at the right hand of God. We have hope, and we have joy, because we know that we put our trust in the Lord. 1 Peter 1:8. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. May God bless you. Amen.